the choir goes down.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Good morning. Good morning. Try that again. Good morning. All right. There you go. That's what I like to hear. We have a special presentation. So it has to do with technology, so I'm very nervous. I am very nervous. And I had something to do with it, so I'm very nervous. But I think you're going to like it. This is a video. This is a video that I was in Revival about a year or a year and a half ago, and they played this video. Let me read you a couple of scriptures real quick first. Scriptures say, the psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Let the heavens and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein." This is a video by Louis Giglio, who's a Christian author and speaker. And he went out there and he found some things in nature that were praising God, all right? And he put it on there and talked a little bit about it. So we're going to watch that. Now, there's a part where you get to take part, all right? This morning, we want to worship God. That's what we come to do. We come to worship God. We come to learn about God. So towards the end of this video, while nature is praising the Lord, he invites the congregation where he's speaking to join in. So at that point, we're going to ask you to stand up and join in. The words will be right there on the wall. Most of you know the song, but stand up, just join in with all of nature, with everybody around you, praising God, worshiping God, singing the praises of God. All right, that's all we ask you to do. Just let God take over. If He blesses you, bless Him back. If He blesses you, praise Him. So as we get going, it'll take probably a couple of minutes here.
Highly magnetized new. Neutron star. And as it is oscillating, you can see what shooting a radio frequency out of itself. And so not only do we have this amazing photograph, but we're determined to hear somebody speaking to us. And so through SETI and other highly advanced electromagnetic telescope programs, we're listening to the universe day and night. But we have gotten something for our money, because when they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. Know about you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something, or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Vela Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148, verse 3, and says, it says, praise him, sun and moon and all you shining stars. We're a shining star. We should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. It's about 16,700 light years away from where we are. And you can see just this brilliant, it looks like a sort of, he shoved a lot of diamonds together into a pile. It's an unbelievable number of stars there. Look at these, they blow up that central place right there. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. 23 millisecond pulsars are there, and we've recorded 16 of them. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. Sounds a little out of tune. Beautiful. Who knew? No, God has his own string section. Isn't that beautiful? And we just looked at 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down at verse 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. I love that he starts with you great sea creatures. We were in Hawaii a few months ago, and it was whale season there, and I was captivated by these giant beasts, and they seemed like they were putting on a show for us, and it was beautiful. And as we were talking to some of the natives about the whales and asking all these questions, how do they get here every year, and how do they know to come to the same place to have their young, their offspring, and how do they know how to journey? And he said, oh, you know, the whales, one of the main ways they get around is through the whale songs that they sing. So I start doing a little research, and I go online to find the whale songs. The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. It's Psalm 148 coming to life right in front of us tonight. That's what's happening in all creation. And I had this crazy idea, and I don't know if you know what a mashup is or not, but I had this crazy mashup idea. I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. I brought this guy in. He's not somebody that we had going already, but I brought one guy in. You should be hearing him by now. I don't know. Are we on? Yeah, if we could get just a little more volume, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Just even a little more volume would be fantastic. Thank you. I'm kind of maxed out here. There we go. This guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR-BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. But that's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Now this is unedited. It's just two pulsars slowed down and put in sync with each other. And so we're going to put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard, here they come. Undoctored and unedited. Here they come. Asking what you're asking, because some people need it really clear, like, what are they singing? And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing.
Oh.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Let me hear you now.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.
To be a sanctuary.
Father, go ahead. Keep singing.
Lord, yeah. Prepare me.
Yeah.
To be a sanctuary.
Close your eyes and sing to God. Close your eyes and sing to God.
Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, God, for your Spirit, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. God, we thank you for you. God, we thank you for you, for being you and all that you are. God, we thank you for your work in our life. Lord, we thank you for your activity in our life. God, we thank you that you're real. Father, how great is our God. We can't even say, Father, but we want to thank you this morning. God, we ask that as we come into your word and your scripture, we ask you to draw our hearts in together. Father, help me to say the words you would have for us this morning in our church, in our congregation, in our life right now. Lord, we thank you for your love. We ask you to draw those that need you, call those that need you. Help them, Father, just to give in. Lord, if someone needs saved this morning, Lord, let them give their life to you. Father, if somebody needs help, let them come get it. Lord, we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated now. Just want to talk about how real God is this morning, how real God is this morning, how big God is this morning, how God knows what's going on, how God can change things, how God can fix things this morning. Want to take a look at I'm going to quote two verses to you partially as my text this morning. And here's what they are. Hebrews 13:5 says this. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Matthew 28 says, I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. Right now, I want you to know that Jesus knows what's going on. There are times in our life, where we don't know what's going on. We can't figure out what's going on. We can't control what's going on. There are times in our life where we just can't, we can't stand it. We can't control it. We don't know what's happening. We just don't know what's happening. But I want to tell you this morning. I want to tell you, if you get nothing else this morning but this, know this, even when you and I don't know what's going on, when we can't tell what's going on, when we don't know what's happening, God always knows. God always knows. He always knows what's going on. He always knows what's happening. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing catches him off guard. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's happening in your life. And he wants to be there with you in your life. And he's done that since you've been born. He's been there since you've been born. He's been moving and working ever since you first took your first breath. Up to this day, he's been working. And on the rest of your life, he's going to continue to do that. What I want to do this morning for just a couple of minutes, I want to take a look at how God works in our lives. And I want to take a look at two lives, the life of Joseph, and the life of Rob. Now, I don't equate myself to Joseph, but I'm telling you, the similarities in Joseph and me, I can draw. And I think as we look at Joseph's life, you'll be able to draw similarities in your life and see that even when you don't know, God does. Even when you can't control, God does. Even when we can't tell what's happening, God does. God knows what's going on. God knows what's happening. God is in control of all things. You know, someone once said, there's three types of people in this world. You know, just three. There are those that make things happen. There are those that watch things happen. And there are those that wondered what just happened. We should be, for Jesus, we got a lot of what just happeners. And we got a lot of, look at that, what's happening. We need more of, let's make it happen. We need to get out there and make it happen for God. Get in this world and make it happen. Make things happen for Jesus. Because when you get out there for Jesus and work for him, he's going to work for you. He's going to be out there working and moving and changing. But I'm going to take Joseph from the beginning. The first thing about God, and I want you to realize this, is that you are in the right family. You are in the right family. Amen. Now, you may not think so. You may think, man, that my family, there's no way I'm in the right family. Joseph probably thought the same thing. You may think, well, my family, they don't even go to church anymore. They never gone to church. So you're here by yourself. Maybe you're a child here by yourself. Maybe you're a wife here by yourself. Maybe you're a husband here by yourself. And you think, there's no way I'm in the right family. And I think as young men and women, young boys and girls, we often think that, and I don't know that it ever changes. We think, am I in the right family? But, you know, Joseph's family, he could have thought the same thing because his dad, he's a descendant from Abraham. You know Abraham. Abraham had many sons, right? You know the song? Who knows the song? We're not going to sing it. You can raise your hand. You don't have to sing. Abraham had many sons, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham got Canaan promised to him. God said, I'm giving you the promised land. Canaan's yours and your descendants. And he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Anybody here have 12 brothers? Not brothers and sisters, 12 brothers? Anybody have 12 in your family? Okay. Can you imagine if there's just 12 brothers and then the sisters on top of it? That's a huge family. Now, Jacob was the youngest of 12. And he dad had him in his old age. And that was the beginning of the problem in Jacob's family. Because dad had him in his old age, so dad liked him better than everybody else. Dad liked him better than the others. The Bible says, because he was his child of old age. So he liked him better. So that's showing favoritism isn't always good, especially when you got a bunch of older brothers, you know what I mean, that like to pick on you, possibly beat on you, but you can't call it that because they're your siblings. That's okay, right, in the sibling world. But this is where Joseph was put into, this family, where dad loved him and mom loved him and brothers would just as soon get rid of him as look at him. Just as soon as get rid of him is look at him. But that's the life that Joseph was living. That's the life that Joseph was involved in. That's the family that God put him into was a family that was huge and large and a family where he wasn't even liked very well. 46 plus years ago, I was put into a family. And you know, God says, and know this, that God has a plan for you to follow. God has a plan for you to follow. He's got a path for you and a plan for you. He's got a destination for you. He's got a final destination for you, and that final destination is heaven. What he says is, God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering towards me and you. Not that any would perish, but that all would have everlasting life, that all would go to heaven. His final destination for all is heaven. But he has a plan for you and a destination he wants to get you to at some point in your life to where you can do the work that he has approved for you to do, that he's anointed you. He said in Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I even formed you in the belly. I knew you before I formed you. I ordained you before I formed you. I ordained you before you were even born. He ordained your path and your footsteps, and the Bible says he will lead and guide in all that. So 46 years ago, God dropped me into this family. Bill and Marguerite Bumpus. Now, they only had two boys, but I got to be the youngest of those two boys, and that's fine with me. You know, I'm smarter, I'm better looking, I'm more muscular, and none of these are true. It's all a lie. But here's what happened. He dropped me in a family, in a Bumpus family, in Putnam County. Well, a couple years later, my dad's brother had a son. So if that son would come forward, I'm going to give you all Joseph in your mind, but I'm going to show you mine, all right? I'm going to show you mine. This is Chucky Bumpus. Now, y'all call him Chuck probably, but I know him as Chucky. Now, I work in Sissonville. I grew up in Putnam County, but I work in Sissonville for the past 10 years. Chucky grew up in Sissonville, right? Played football and baseball, and everybody knew him and all. I mean, and I get this question all the time. Someone comes into my office and sees my name tag or my nameplate, Bumpus, and they say, are you kin to Chucky? You know Chucky Bumpus? Are you kin to him? You know what I say? What do you think I say? What kind of person is he? Standard. Because if he's not a good person, it's the other Bumpus clan that we're not related to. I haven't met him yet, but they're a bunch of not good people. So I say yes, and then I tell him, absolutely, because nobody's ever said he was a bad person. And we'd probably get round and round if they did. But I was born into the family, and Chuck was my cousin. You're still my cousin, right? Okay. This is still my cousin, Chuck. All right? So we were born into the same family, and I pretty much lived at his house when I was little, so he was like my brother that I liked, if you know what I mean. He didn't hit me and stuff like that. But I was born into that family. That's where God put me. Now, do we have our problems? Absolutely, we have our problems. Do you have your problems? Yeah, you have your problems. But the family is the family. The saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. God chose your family. Put you in the perfect family to get you where he needed you or wanted you to be. That family's led you up to today. So if you can go ahead and just have a seat. I told him he didn't have to say anything, but I lied. He had to say sure. So God put you right in that family. Then God put Joseph in that family to lead him into the path he needed him to go. God did that for you. God put you in that family that you were in growing up and that you're in right now because he has this plan for you and he wants to move you in it. And see, God does a lot of things and we don't even realize it. God moves things and he has the power to change things. So the first thing I noticed about me and Joseph is we were put in the right family, right? You were put in the right family. The second thing about Joseph's life, all right, and about your life, you are in or you are going through the right place. You're either in the right place right now or you're going through the right place right now. You are where you're at because it's the right place for you to be. It's right where God wants you to be. It's right. And see, I thought, not many times because I've liked my career, but over the years there have been a few times where I thought, this can't be where I'm supposed to be. This particular place of work, this particular job, this particular set of circumstances, this can't be where I'm supposed to be. Well, Joseph, think about Joseph. Because we are where we are because we chose some things. We are where we are because we made some choices. And I was in my life where I was at because of what I chose. Now, Joseph didn't end up where he wanted to end up, right? Because he was growing up in that family, in a great loving family, right? And he made some choices. And his choices were he liked his big brothers. He liked them. They didn't like him, but he liked them. He liked hanging out with them. So one day Joseph says, as all the brothers go off into a far country to take care of their business, Joseph looks at Dad and he says, Dad, I'm going to go see him. So the Bible says he goes off to see him. That was his choice, to go see, away from Mom and Dad to see his brothers. He made that choice. Just like you and I have made choices in our life. Now, was God in that choice? I'm not going to say he was in that choice. I'm not going to say he was. Now, a lot of people go, oh, that's what God wanted. No, that's what Joseph wanted. I'm not going to say it's what God wanted, because that choice of Joseph ended him up in a pit. In a pit. So his brothers see him coming far off. And they go, you know what? We have a pit right here. And I wondered about that pit. Was that already there? Are there just pits over in the Middle East? Are there just pits in places? You know, you walk around, you're walking through the sand, the dirt, a pit. Whoa, there's a pit. I don't know, but there happened to be a pit right there where they were. So the brothers go, here comes our little man that we just don't like. We'd rather see dead than alive. So they've got this handy-dandy pit laying right here that's there. Let's kill him, put him in the pit. We're away from Dad. He'll never know. We'll take care of business. We'll just kill him, put him in the pit, done. No more little brother. No more punk. No more twerp, right? Anybody got a little brother? Raise your hand. Punks, aren't they? All right, Stevie says, yeah. Punks and twerps. So their plan was this. Their plan was, we're going to kill him, throw him in a pit, till daddy's dead. And that was the plan. Joseph's choice was to go there, right? To go to the brothers. So now, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, Joseph didn't wake up and go, today, I want to jump in and get thrown in a pit. I want to be in a pit today. That's my plan. To be in a pit that I can't get out of. I want the biggest pit, though. I want it to be the best pit, you know, deepest, darkest. Every other pit owner would be the envy of my pit, said Joseph. Nobody thinks that. That wasn't his plan. His plan wasn't to end up in a pit. But the Bible says that when he came there, they were going to throw him in the pit and kill him. But one of the older brothers, God moved in. God moved in because God moves in our life all the time. Through people. You see, God is powerful, and he can move people, and he can change people, and he can change hearts, and he can change minds. And though Joseph's choice led him to this pit of death, God said, no, it's not going to be a pit of death. It's going to be a pit. You've chosen to go there, but it's going to be a pit of life. You know, it was going to be either a pit of inconvenience or a pit of convenience. Same pit, two choices. If they killed Joseph, it was a pit of convenience because they conveniently got rid of him. But it became a pit of inconvenience because Joseph got down in there alive. Reuben said, we're not going to kill him. Let's not kill him. Let's just put him in the pit alive. So that's what they did. So God moved in Joseph's life and changed somebody's mind, changed somebody's heart. But Joseph ended up in that pit, in a place he wasn't planning on, a place he wasn't, it was not his choice of destination. Maybe today you've even think, man, I'm in a place in my life, and I don't know how I got here, and I don't know why I'm here. It's not where I want to be. It's definitely not where I should be. But you know, it might be just where God wants you to be, or it might be where God needs to let you move through to get you where you need to go. You see, because God can use every choice that you make and every choice that I make. God can move things along the way and move people along the way. God can take, as Joseph said later, can take your bad choices and make good out of them. Can take our bad steps and bring light out of them. Because that's what God is, and that's who God is, and that's what God does. Now, so Joseph made a choice and ended up in a pit, right? I made a choice, and I ended up in a place called Stone and Thomas Distribution Center. That was a warehouse. That was not my choice to be there. It was my choice, but not my plan early on in life. I didn't plan on going, all right, I'm going to get out of high school. I'm going to be a warehouse worker. That's my goal. That's my goal, to be a warehouse worker. That wasn't my goal or my plan, but it was my choices and what I did and what the choices I made led me there. So I don't think it was God's plan for me. I think it was God's saying, oh, okay, you choose. You know, he said, I said before you, a blessing and a cursing. Today, you choose. Well, I chose to take the life that because I wasn't following God. And I would never say that it was God's choice because I wasn't following God. See, I wasn't going to church. I wasn't serving him. I wasn't praying. I wasn't believing at this time in my life. I was just living life for myself. So I chose to go into this line of work, into a warehouse. Not what I wanted to be at. But there was a perk. See, you can always find a perk no matter what, right? There was a perk to this job in the warehouse. The place in this warehouse that I worked, there was a big conveyor belt that went all through the warehouse. And when you unloaded boxes, you threw them on that conveyor belt, and they tracked their way around all the way to the end of the conveyor belt, right where I worked, and there was this thing we called the crusher at the bottom of it, right? And what it was all the boxes dropped off of the end of the conveyor belt into this big, really, it was just like a dumpster, and there was this big metal plate that come through and just crushed all the boxes, made them small. Remember, this is the fun part of the job. So this is what would happen. Sometimes the boxes would get jammed. This will play on in a minute. Sometimes the boxes would get jammed. So we would get to go down in there where this crusher was crushing things. And we would get to jump on the boxes and stomp on the boxes and make sure they get down in there, you know, and unstuck. And we would play this game because we were young and intelligent. We would jump down in there, and the metal plate would be coming, and we would see how close it could get before we get up out of there because we were intelligent people. I've never claimed to be smart, and I prove it every day. But in this job, that was the highlight of my job at the time. That was the highlight of my career at that moment, was to get to go down in the crusher and try not to get killed. That was it. That's what I did. But that's where my choices brought me to. That's where my choices led me to. That's where I was. But see, God was still moving because he put me with two people, two important people. One, my boss, wasn't a Christian. And the other guy was a Christian. So even though I wasn't a Christian, I grew up in church. I knew all the lingo and I knew the songs. So we would get in the trucks and load them and we would sing song, Christian songs. Then my boss would come in and say, stop. So we'd stop. Later, my boss got saved and that turned out to be good. But there he was. That guy was a witness to me while I was there. Why? Because God can use anywhere you're at. The Bible says no matter where we go, no matter where you go, God is there. David says, if I go into heaven, he's there. If I go into hell, he's there. If I go take the wings of the eagle and go to the uttermost part of the sea, he's there. No matter if you go to anywhere, the party you're at that you shouldn't be at, he's there. The beer joint you're at, you shouldn't be at, he's there. The football game you're at, he's there. The home where you're at, he's there. Church, he's there. He's everywhere. So God put in my life at this moment a guy that I needed to be there to kind of get me back on track, help me get back on track, because I was there in a place, in my pit. That was my pit. Maybe you're in a pit right now. Your pit can change, or your pit itself can become good, because I've been in that pit and job before, and God didn't change me or the position or the company. He just changed the pit and the surroundings in it, and it got better. Why? Because that's what God does. That's how God lives and moves and works and acts. And don't forget, this is my cousin, because he comes into play in a few minutes, all right? Chucky, that's my cousin. All right, so Joseph, what happens next? Well, it goes like this. God, in your life, he has the power to do things, right? Power to move things. Power to make things and change things. After all, the Bible tells us that God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. There it was. He spoke into darkness and he made light. He spoke into the light and he made the universe and he made the planets and he made the stars and the sun and the moon. And he spoke to the earth and he made plants and animals and seeds. He spoke to the universe and he said, all right, now start spinning around things. You know, orbit the sun, orbit the earth, orbit the moon, orbit whatever. Just start going around, around, around. But don't hit each other. That's what he said. Don't hit each other. And the Bible says, I think it's in Hebrews, maybe Peter, in one of the places, it says that the same word that he spoke to create the world, the universe, the same word holds it all in place, just waiting for the fire and the judgment of the ungodly men and women. So I know when they say there's an asteroid coming, there's not an asteroid going to hit our world. The earth's coming too close to the sun. That's not going to happen. Or two planets are going to hit. That ain't how it's going to work. Why? Because God is holding it all in place. And you think maybe that's not a big deal. Or maybe, do this for me. Do this for me. Tell this pen, somebody speak to this pen and these glasses and tell them to orbit me. We can't. You got more power. See, that's what God does. God says, now, orbit and don't get too close. And you know what? We can't make these two little things, but God controls all those things out there, and he controls them to where nothing goes wrong. And it's what he does for your life. He controls your life to where even when things aren't good, he makes them better. Even when things aren't right, he changes them. He brings people into your life. Here Joseph is in his pit. And he's not out of the pit. He's in the pit. And behold, God sends some Ishmaelites down the way. Now, who were Ishmaelites? They were merchant men. They liked to buy things and sell things. And one of the things they liked to buy and sell, I guess, were people. Because the brother said it like this. Why should we kill him and not profit from him when we can sell him and make ourselves a profit? So the Bible says the Ishmaelites came near, and the brother said, hey, I got a deal for you. We got a young man here that we'd love to get rid of. You got 20 pieces of silver you'd like to get rid of, so let's make a deal. So they sold him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Now, you think that's bad. You think that would be bad to be sold into slavery. But the thing is, God's moving these people. God's the one that brought them by. God's the one that brought them in the play, in the moment. God's the one that said, you guys need to travel down this road, go by this area, because there's a hole right here with the pit, with some guys standing around it, and then one in it. I need you to get this boy, because I've got a place for him to go, and he can't get there without you. Now, they didn't realize they were doing God's will, I'm sure. Because I would imagine if they were, they wouldn't buy and sell people. But nonetheless, they were doing exactly what God needed and wanted them to do. Right? He sent the Ishmaelites by. Now I'm down in my pit. I'm down in my pit in the crusher, having a good time, hopping and jumping on boxes. And along comes a UPS man. I don't know a UPS man. It's not Tony. Along comes a UPS man. And I'm down in the crusher. Now there's usually three people in my area, so there's always someone there. Apparently the other two left me because I was alone. I was down in the crusher. If I had got crushed, they'd have never known. I'd have been part of a box, you know, no big deal. hire the next guy, let's put him in place. I'm expendable. So this guy comes along. Now remember, I'm born in Putnam County. I'm working in Rock Branch in Putnam County. And along comes, come on up. I'm going to put him on the spot and ask him a question. Along comes a truck driver from Jackson County into the warehouse. I had never seen this guy before in my life in our warehouse. Never, not one time. I had never seen him after this moment, not one time. But I'm down there in the crusher having fun, and this guy pops his head over and he says, there's a UPS guy dropping something off. And he says, he needs you to sign something. And he asked me an important question. What did you ask me? Do you remember?
Well, I need you to sign a freight bill for myself as well.
Yeah.
Because I kicked some boxes off.
Right.
For
but
overnight,
what you asked
UPS.
Me, yes, but you asked me something about the UPS guy. You, he says, because he was a Christian.
I'm over 50 years
this
old.
Is a, he's he's a young man. He's a young man. So at that time, he looks at me and says, do you want me to break the law and forge your name on this document? Being a Christian, we thought that was okay. He says, do you want me to sign your name? I said, yeah. He says, what's your name? I said, Robbie Bumpus. So he signs my name, and then I crush boxes. But he's there. First and only time in my life. There. I come up out of there, and he asked me a second very important question to my life. Do you remember that one?
I said, you in relation to Chucky Bumpus?
Now, at this time, I worked in Putnam County. Nobody knew Chucky. So I said, yes, it's my cousin. Frank invites me to hear the Young Believers. You can have a seat. Frank invites me. He says, hey, they're singing at Nazarene Church, Davis Creek, this Friday or Saturday. Why don't you come out and hear him? Never saw him before, never saw him after. That was our only crossing. That's my only Ishmaelite crossing with him, is this one moment. So I said, okay, that's fine. I'll come out. So Joseph goes away with these Ishmaelites, heading down into Egypt, right? And I go on my way, and I go see them. Because God sent important, intelligent, nice Frank, who was breaking the law and forging my name, because that's what all Christians do. But he had to get to know my name somehow, right, to move me along. Think about that. Who's crossed your path that God has put there that you're thankful for that one moment? And it might be just one moment in time. I can tell you that I can't tell you the preacher that was the one that prayed with me when I first got saved. I remember he was a short, fat, bald-headed preacher down in Florida. That's all I got. He could knock me down today, I wouldn't know him. But I'm thankful that God crossed our path. I know Frank, and I can tell you who he is, and I'm thankful God crossed our path. But like Joseph, he put somebody in my path, and he told me to do something. Now, Joseph ended up going in to the right place. He ended up in Potiphar's house because they took him down. They took him down to sell him. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He ended up in prison. Now, this don't seem like the right place, but God made it the right place. What's Romans tell us? All things work to good for those who are called. Who are called. Who are following God. Who are walking after God. God makes all things, not just the good times, not just the good choices, but he can take a dumb choice and a bad choice and turn it around and make it work out for good. And not only can he says he will. He says he will. And you can believe that two ways. You can believe, yeah, God can, but you can also believe that God will. Because I can do a lot of things, but I don't do a lot of things that I can do. God can do a lot of things, but he says he will work them out for your good if you follow him. If you're called and you're a Christian and you're born again and you're a believer and you walk with him and you talk with him and you obey him, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When you do that, the Bible says that he will make all things work for your good, even the dumb, bad, stupid choices. I mean, down in the crusher, as many times as we played that dumb game, we got out alive. Right? I used to do other dumb stuff. I ain't going to tell you about it because Lori hates it when I tell my kids about the dumb things I do. Gives them ideas to not do that. That's what I am. The don't do this, Dad. Don't do this. But God has kept me out of so much because he watches over you. So Joseph ends up in these people's possession. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He ends up in prison. But he ends up in Pharaoh's house. And becomes second in control in Pharaoh's government above all but Pharaoh. And you know the story. He ended up in the highest political position other than Pharaoh. Everybody else was in subjectivity to him. One of those where if he said jump, they jumped and then said how high. One of those where he said go, they took off and then said where to. They listened first. They didn't ask questions. That's where God needed him to end up so he could save the people. Now, that night, I went to hear the young believer sing. Now, at this moment in my sermon, this wasn't planned, but this needs to be. I'm going to ask Susie to come up. Somebody else was supposed to be here, all right? Johnny Hill. John and Carol Hill and Johnny Hill played a huge part in me being here. Me being here at Goldtown. But, you know, Carol's passed away, and John is not doing well at all. So Johnny's not can't be here this morning. He's at Dad's house. He's not doing very good, so we need to pray for him. But here's what happened. After the service, the young believers sang. So this is representation for John and Carol and young believers. I'm not kin to Susie, in case you're wondering. She's not my cousin. And if you ask me to know her, I say yes. Now, John and Carol invited all the young believers over to their house that night, opened the doors for all those kids they knew. But they invited me. I knew two people in that group. Two people, just two. Chucky and Cindy. But I went there that night just to hang out. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're looking at the shyest person you'll ever meet. I know some people don't believe that, but I am. So I basically went there and I sat and I stood. I didn't hardly talk to anybody except the two or three that I knew. But they welcomed me in. God put me in the right place. This wasn't the pit. This wasn't the wrong place. I was in the right place because I was listening to the right people and I was following God, and God was moving and God was changing and God was bringing people into my life. And that's what he'll do for you. He'll bring people like John and Carol Hill and Johnny Hill and all the young believers and the leader of the young believers, and they'll welcome you in. And what God does is put you in places in your life that will bring you right to where you need to be. So through that, through going to that after party or whatever, I was at a church that I'm thankful for, but I don't know that I'd still be going to church if I stayed there because there was nobody my age. But at that point, they invited me out here, so I started coming to church out here. And through that and coming out here is what led me to where I'm at today, doing what I do today, right where God needs me to be, right where God wants me to be, right doing what God wants for me to do. I'm thankful that like Joseph, I'm in the right family. I'm thankful that like Joseph, God used the wrong places for the right reasons. I'm thankful that God moved people into my life and to cross my path to help steer me and guide me and direct me. And I'm thankful that I went to the right place and I'm in the right place, just like Joseph, to do what God needed you to do. The question here is are you in the right place? Are you where God wants you to be? Because he leads and he guides and he moves and he directs you. And you know, just like he did the universe and put it all together, and he holds it all in place, and he controls it all, he will do your life that way. And you know, it didn't stop, and I'm just about done, because I want to tell you one more thing, the way God worked in my life. And you know, but some of you may not know. A couple of months ago, I had something go on. Now, this is, who can see what this is? It's the original, what a real one. The real one right here. I'll set it down real easy. In my life, just a few months ago, I had that and that. He's not here, but I respect TJ. Respect for TJ. I tell him it all the time. Respect for TJ. Few months ago, I had this in my life. You know what that is? That's a mass. This is my right kidney. I had a mass on my right kidney. Who knew about it? Nobody. Nobody. Because it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't causing any pain. It wasn't causing any issues. It wasn't doing nothing but just kind of hanging out there. Right? So nobody knew about it. But God said, it's time to know. You know what this is? That's the original kidney stone. That's right. It was rough. I hope you never have one. I hope you never have one. But you know, if you've had them or you've been around somebody that had them, it's not fun. And I was sitting at work one morning at 9:30, and at 9:30 I started having a little bit of pain on my side. By 1:45 I had to leave. I told a person, my friend of mine I was working with, I said, I got to go. You know, you want to finish this loan on your own, you go right ahead, but I'm leaving. So and at 3:45 or so, we ended up at the hospital, and they determined I had a kidney stone, almost the size of that, by the way. But when they did, yeah. What happened was, they were looking for it, and they did a CT scan, and they didn't find any. They found zero kidney stones. But they did find this little dude over here. This little dude was hanging out over here, all right? Little mass over here on this other side. Yeah. Big as more than one of my hands. So we got to get that looked at. So we had another CT, right? That's what they said. They said, it's got to come out. The mass has to come out. It's too big. We're not even going to do a biopsy. It's too big. It's got to come out, so we're just going to take it out. The second CT scan let them know the whole kidney had come out, all right? And they said, these were their words, we don't know if it's cancerous or not. We don't know. We won't know until we get it out. We send it off. But here's what God had him do. Here's what God did. God said, if it is cancerous, the doctor says, it's all contained. The cancer is contained within the mass, is what they said. So they took the mass out. They took the kidney out. You know the whole situation there. But here's what you might not know. Cancerous. It came back cancerous. And what? It doesn't bother me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Why? Because my God's bigger than that. My God had it set up where the cancer was all inside the kidney, or inside the mass, contained, and the mass was inside the kidney membrane. So when they pulled my kidney out, everything came out, nothing left inside. I'm good. There's no cancer. Nothing. But without that little stone, we would have never found this. And without finding this now, what would it come to be later? I don't know. We'll never know. But that's what God does. God moves in your life in ways that you and I don't know and can't know and can't control and can't fathom or dream or ask for your better, for your betterment, for your good. The question is, are we following God's path for us? Are we doing what we need to be doing for God? Are we where we need to be? God is moving and working and acting on your behalf. Are we moving and acting and working on his behalf? So I just have one question for you, and I'm just about done. Get ready to sing. God loves you. God loved Joseph and worked through his whole life. God loved me, and I told you how he worked through my whole life, through family and people I didn't even know and people who opened their arms and groups and welcomed me in. God worked through my life through bad things and stopped bad things because it's what God is. That's who God is, and it's what he does. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, he wants to do that for you so bad. So bad he wants to do that for you. But if you're not saved, the only thing he wants to do first is save your life, give you salvation, give you grace and mercy. If you're here and you're not saved, this morning get saved. Then God can work everything else out for your good. If you're here and you are saved, but maybe you're not where you should be, maybe you need to come and get back close to God, get that relationship back. Maybe you're in a place that you shouldn't be at. You need to come and talk to God about it. Maybe God says, you know what, that's a pit you don't need to be in. Let's talk about getting you out of that pit. Or maybe you're in a place you want it to change. Talk to God about changing it. This morning, if you need God, he's here, he's ready, he's willing, he's able, and he will. And he will help you, save you, strengthen you, move you. As we stand and get a song.
Page 148. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you. On his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide all the day through. When you get this discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in His love we hide. Courage, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you.
Amen. You can be seated now. Just remember, God wants to work in your life, God can work in your life, and God will work in your life. I want to thank these four people for helping me out, and Wendy and Greg, all those people. I want to thank you for helping me out this morning through this thing, which I think was awesome what Louis Giglio did. I think it's awesome that we could see that, and through what they did in my life as well as this morning. So if you appreciate their help, let them know it. And I still appreciate whoever's leaves their glasses back there. Appreciate that, because I never remember mine. Now, Mike, turn it over to you.